Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to Food for Thought, a podcast gabfest where in a multiracial mix of queer writers gather around the table to talk about sex, identity, culture, what we like to read, and who we like to read. Food for Thought, we're here. We're queer. We have crippling anxiety.
It's true.
Oh my God. I am Joseph Osmondson, scientist, nonfiction writer, and my sexuality is accidentally swiping left on my soulmate.
I'm Fran. I'm a writer. I'm an editor. And again, Laura Dern, will you please text me back?
She won't.
Begging you over and over again. It's fine.
Word. I am Danez Smith, poet, one-on-one bottom, group. Group
and
top.
Take it there.
Group
it's
top.
Very important.
Group top. Group top. Poverty line versatile.
How can I measure up? I'm Angel Abdullah Nafis, neighborhood asshole, poet, chronically late individual.
With a
late
burrito,
on account
though.
Of but burritos.
On the count of burrito. If you ask me, very fair. And, you know, just a dater of one Sheer Erlichman who... When wouldn't get me a glass of water the other day, I yelled, support black businesses.
Thank you so much for joining us in the studio, for filling in for Teebs and for Dennis, respectively.
We could never.
Truly,
I'm down
never.
To be the wallless genderqueer bitch here.
Yeah, it's fine.
The wallless genderqueer bitch. So yesterday in the studio, we have both Dennis Smith, author of Don't Call Us Dead, Insert Boy, and a gajillion other things, and Angel Nafis, whose poems have appeared in BuzzFeed, Poetry Magazine, a whole bunch of other places.
That's right. For our muse bouche, we get Twitter-pated, as you will. Danez serves up a healthy serving of sluttery for our second course.
Which we always needed.
I am a slut.
For our thought process, we get by with a little help from our friends. Yes. And for dessert, we take it to the stage.
Yes, take Finally. It away.
Oh my God, I'm on the podcast.
I know.
Bok, bok, bok. Fran is rolling his eyes so hard.
No, I'm not.
I'm feeling a little peckish. So let's start the top of this show the way that any good top should, with a little tease, a little something to wet your palates and minds.
There are no today, tops here.
I topped twice last night in one sitting.
In one sitting? In one sitting.
I feel like you don't top. You just bottom from a high angle. It's like,
deeply seen.
It's all about, it's all about the golden ratio.
Golden ratio.
It's a, wait, what's the quadrant? Like, what's the triangle called? Isosceles triangle.
I'm always on the bottom. Today we're going to amuse your bouches with a little game that I like to call Terset or Tweet. Does one of our poets, we are blessed to have three professional poets with us today. You wanted, someone wanted to find
we're
a Terset?
We're taking over.
What's a Terset?
Fuck bros.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying? Yeah.
What's a Terset? Define it for us.
A Terset is...
a three-line stanza.
Yeah, three-line stanza.
Yeah, so it's just like three lines of poetry. It's like a tweet-length poem. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the most amazing things for me about being a young writer right now is that I get to watch the best poets of our generation... Right, I read their books. I love their books, but I also get to watch them write live on their social media.
100%.
So in this
most of my
game,
poems, as Morgan says, do start on
exactly. So I feel like legitimately, I see some tweets sometimes, and then later on, I see a poem 100%. That uses that tweet. So in this game, I'm going to read.
We got found out.
I'm going to read some lines from poets that we all probably know, young, great poets, and you have to tell me if it's from a tweet
man.
Or from a poem.
Be careful saying young post for Gen X is all up in my mentions, okay?
Listen.
Why is it always about this 30-year-old motherfuckers?
Okay. They're so mad.
They're so bad.
They're so upset.
Yeah. Mm. Go for it.
All right. So we're going to start easy and we're going to get a little harder. Okay. Our first poem.
We're all going to get harder.
Our first poet
Listen,
is...
not all of us. Okay?
Okay.
Not
is
all...
one Tommy Tipsfico.
Okay.
Oh.
Did you say burpees or slurpees? A thought in the hand is worth two in the tush. Line from a poem or tweet?
I actually don't know. I think that's a poem.
I think it's a poem only because...
No,
because
the burpees thing.
No. I think the second part is very much like a Tommy tweet, but Tommy really likes rhyme in his poetry.
True.
And so I'm going to guess.
But there's a whole thing on Twitter right now about
the burpees.
So I just feel like that was snagged on some research.
Jericho Brown told us to get burpees.
Yes.
Okay.
I know it's a poem because Tommy never tweets longer than like three words.
Oh, you found me out. It's two tweets stuck together. It's two tweets in a row that I put together into a thing.
Yeah.
No, you're absolutely right, Angel. It was well spotted.
Honestly,
there is a thing going on in poetry Twitter right now.
If you bitches stayed relevant, you would be on the right side
about
of the
Jericho Brown challenged poets to get ready for AWP, this big writers conference, by doing burpees because Jericho's whole social media presence is about having a sick fucking body.
Cool.
So that was absolutely. So I also
learned there is that you lied, and so
you fully lied, Joseph.
Next up, Rupi Kaur. Is it Kuar Kaur?
Damn.
It's Rupi.
Wish I could know.
We're definitely not on a first name basis.
I am water, soft enough to offer life, tough enough to drown it away.
That's a poem, barely.
I think I've drank too much because I'm feeling it. I'm like,
the Rupi.
I'm like,
oh,
Rupi,
no.
Go baby. Off, bitch.
Go off, bitch.
Go off, Rupi. Bitch. What does water do? Say that, bitch.
Joseph. It actually is kind of banging.
I know.
It's like
here's the thing. Here's the thing. Every once in a while...
Rupi nails it. Rupi sticks the landing every once in a while.
Nails it. Every once in a while, I'm like, my nigga, did I think that or did you?
Well, I will say this. It is the entirety of an Instagram post in and of itself, except for the drawing of a cup at the bottom with a tsunami wave inside of the cup.
Ooh.
Can I be honest? Love it.
Love it.
Swiping right.
I'll say it.
Swiping right.
Swiping right.
She made probably like what a couple $1,000s.
People
off
are
of
so
that
mad,
page in her
and
book,
I refuse
so.
To be mad.
I'm not mad.
First of all, do your damn thing, Roops.
Yo, get your money,
Roops.
Roops.
Get your money.
Doobie?
Get your
bitch,
coin.
You better do that.
Get your fucking money.
Honestly, if I had a drop of water for all of the mediocre white niggas who. Collecting a check? Could I
collect
breathe? I would be
check.
Drowning.
You would
so
be drowning.
Let her just have her thing. Let her do her thing. What's the problem?
Yeah.
There's
I love
no
it.
Problem.
True. Poem.
Her coin
I
is,
say tarts it.
Her
I
coin
don't care
is
about Instagram.
Soft enough to offer life, as a matter of fact. Next up, Thought Daddy himself, Jericho Brown.
Okay.
Poetry is where I understand I am nothing. Poem or tweet?
That's a tweet.
Terset or tweet?
That's for sure a tweet. Sounds existential.
Poetry is where I understand I am nothing. Terset or tweet?
Tweet or craft essay.
Are you pulling your tricks again, Joseph?
I am not.
What is it?
Jericho's on that Rupi.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm saying it was good.
Oh,
100%. Three
that's
lines.
That's a new compliment. Oops. Y'all better get on board.
Okay.
That is three lines from a poem.
Oh,
that is
poem.
An actual terset.
First of all, it's great.
Yeah. Honestly, Rupi,
I like that poem.
It's great.
Rupi.
It is.
I love it, and I'm going to doodle some shit next to that.
All right, next up, one Saeed Jones.
Oh,
yes.
I don't know if y'all know her.
Yes.
Woo.
Just two assassins standing in the hallway in boxer shorts holding guns. It gets exhausting paying attention, doesn't it?
Oh, tweet. Tweet.
Tweet because that bitch is so... fucking out here and lyric on the page.
Yeah,
that's too narrative.
Yeah, there was no negligee. So it was not a poem.
Yeah.
And also,
a nigga didn't turn into a ghost and then his mother.
And also, Joe better give us a motherfucking tweet at some point in this shit.
This was
also baby girls' tweets are like. Publishable.
They're really good.
Yeah.
This
so,
was
like,
it was a tweet.
Yes.
Saeed was one of the hardest ones
bitch.
That I wanted to include, particularly because there's such a disconnect. Like the tweets are so pop culture and funny, and the poems
so
are so like heavy and grounded. No, that was a tweet. That was a tweet. Next up, Ada Limon. Should we make some wagers just between us? Other than that, I'd rather watch trees and clouds.
Poem. Towards it.
For sure. It's a poem, and I just left a nigga, and I'm pregnant. So
yeah.
There we go.
I'm like, Terce it, and my epigraph.
Yeah.
Y'all, it is a Facebook post. It's a tweet about the Super Bowl.
No,
I do not care about football, but I like any excuse to make my pulled chicken nachos and some 3-bean turkey chili. Also, I keep saying the word wager, as in, should we make some wagers between us? Other than that, I'd rather watch trees and clouds. It is a fucking tweet.
Wow.
Ada's also out here with this everyday poetic.
Yeah. But also, I always can count on chicken to surprise me. Never thought that pulled chicken.
No, whereas there's a bottom. The chili is what surprises me.
Chicken pivot.
Chili always comes back.
It comes back.
It always hits you twice, you know?
Thank you all so much for playing.
Thank you.
So good.
Oh my God. That amused Boosh was so good, but for our second course, I think Dinez is on the menu.
Can't wait to taste.
They're serving an amazing, delectable Impure Thought, wherein our hoe of honor, a guest thought, if you will, is here to give us a delicious, absolutely slutty, salacious hookup story.
Oh,
or sexy story, or maybe completely unsexy story.
No, it's gonna be it's Dinez.
I need a permission slip. This is already too much of me. I feel unfair.
I
need a parent or guardian to step in already.
I would like my parent to step away from this story, please.
Dinez, take it away.
I have no mother.
Okay. You lie. It's Pookie.
I know.
Hashtag same.
Set us up. My mom is my shit.
What's the setting?
I'm about to sound like a motherless child, though. Okay, so one, I just want to say I have recently put bullet rye inside of my rosé.
Okay, yes. Important. That's disgusting.
Which, by the way, you should not admit to your fan base.
Yeah, I shouldn't. But if this Impure Thought ends by me thinking I'm on an episode of Keep It, then that's fine.
What is the name of this cocktail, Dinez?
Tonight, it's called the...
Fully post-verbal.
So I was thinking about what Impure Thought I was going to share, and I was like, do I tell the chocolate banana story? No.
Yes, no.
Do I tell the story about, the first time I fucked a group of friends? And no.
That'll be the next segment.
Yeah, we'll get to that later. And then I decided that I was just going to talk about a situation that should have stayed at friends, but actually evolved into a full-fledged relationship. Angel, y'all, lesbians find each other at Whole Foods, but have y'all?
You do
the salad bar.
Angel's like salad
bar. Confirmed.
but to the faggots in the room, do y'all know about BBRT?
No.
What
okay,
is
so I'm.
Y'all got acronyms, and I can't.
Is this gay Whole Foods?
Huh? Remove the W and it's Whole Foods. Yes.
Help!
Whole Foods.
I crave a situation with lesbian and almonds. This is not that. Help.
Okay, so BBRT stands for bareback real time.
Got it. Wait, in real time.
As opposed to bareback delayed, yes.
As opposed to virtual reality? What is the
okay,
deal?
Okay, yeah. Got it.
Bareback now, nigga. So BBRT is a pretty interesting space. Because
is it a website?
It
is
it
an
is,
app?
It is, it is, girl, they do not have an app. It is a website, old school manhunt tea girl.
Okay. Oh, God. So
BBRT is this wonderful website where you go to look for raw sex. For some, that can read is very dangerous. But for me, if you have not bought my book yet, Don't Call Us Dead. It's available for $16.99 at a store near you. $15.99. It's a dollar cheaper. Amazon be having it for cheap.
Sometimes it's $17.99.
Sometimes it's $17.99.
That's my homie. I'm going to take it.
Yeah. It's worth it. It's a good book. But for me, I'm HIV positive. And so sometimes in spaces like Grindr and Scruff and Jacked, sero status can be a weird thing. And on BBRT, there tends to be a critical mass of positive men or men who have been on PrEP long enough not to give a fuck or just straight afraid of niggas who don't give a fuck. Mm. I don't fuck with them. girl, I don't do the buck chaser thing.
By the way, you should write horror because niggas who straight up don't give a fuck is terrifying.
Truly scary. Oh. Invite me back next time. I'll tell you about my stalker. All right. One day, you know, I'm just like gallivanting on BBRT, you know, being a young thought, you know, freshly douched. I'm like, okay, I gotta. You know, when you got like a fresh douche and you're like, I have a 4-hour window to find some dick, let's make this happen.
Yeah. Angel just sat way back as though she knows exactly what's happening.
Yeah. And like. And like usually, you know, like once I'm on BBRT, like a lot of my like normal rules go out the window.
Mm. All bets are off.
All bets are off. All bets are off. But out of, you know, the like haze of what is everybody's secretly gay grandfather comes this wonderful, furry, little slim young thing. Mm. The kind of, he's like the exact kind of spicy white where like.
In spicy
the,
white!
He's spicy white, you know, in the right he's light, he's Latino. Uh-huh. In the right light, very Puerto Rican, you
he's
know.
He's got some worries on him.
You spicy know? White.
Yeah, left side, Norwegian, right side, Colombian.
I appreciate
right
a spicy white on the playlist.
I do.
Ariana.
Shout out to Ariana, John B.
No, I'm sorry, Anna. Ariana's a fake tan, is not.
She is a spicy
sounds
white.
Sounds like a, the spicy chicken's club I would get at Wendy's. Joe.
I thought she was J-Lo's niece for like the first year.
Got it. Okay. Painted picture. Got
cool,
it.
Cool, cool. So spicy white man is here. And so I invite him over to my house for relations. And, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking like regular hookup. I'm thinking like, you know, you nut in 15 minutes and then just like finger me until, oh my God, this liquor.
You're doing great, baby.
It is.
Do
it
you
is.
Not love getting fingered with nut inside of you? That's my that whole is, ass sexuality.
Actually I actually have to go.
Yeah.
That's my Angel's whole like, ass I'm sexuality. Saying this
I mean, that's the secret is that nut is a brilliant lube, but that's
yes!
not.
What? Yes.
This is right now. So I'm thinking, right, it's going to be like 15 minutes of you, like, you know, bamming your thing into me and then, like, finger me until I come, right? Yeah. Thinking I'll be able to get on with my day. I got, like, poems to write. I got emails to make sure I send back.
Very Fran of
but
you.
But he comes over and it's convenient as fuck. He lives literally around the corner.
Dangerous as fuck.
Dangerous. Dangerous. Dangerous, right? Shows up to my house, is finer than the picture.
Dangerous!
That's really
dangerous.
Bad.
Boop.
Dick like, better than he described.
Red alert, red alert.
Like a super nice Polish.
Can I just, I'm sorry, just for the lesbians in the house.
Uh-huh.
What's the time ratio between like showing me up at the door and then like knowing that the dick is better than you?
Yeah, that's a great question.
You know what I mean? It depends on the.
Like, I'm going to read you a passage.
It depends
from
on the thing. So I'm very much like, I like to. In my perfect world, you come in, we'll smoke a little bit, I'll offer you a drink.
Okay, so we're talking at least 30 men.
You know, I want to sit down and like, no, 15.
That is fast delivery, mama. Huh? Okay.
Oh, that's slow, I was thinking. Because sometimes
cause
it's
they
like,
come in and I'm
had,
on
like,
my
longer
knees.
Farts
yeah,
than
sometimes.
That. Like, not.
Sometimes what they come the in deal? And it's just like, and they're. Look. I mean, I feel like you have to read the dude, right? Like, sometimes they walk in and it's just, like, very clear that, like, you have came here to fuck and you are uncomfortable with the conversation. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's like, oh, you're actually a cool person. Right, I can, right, like, right. We can, like, talk about Drag Race before, you know, you stick your dick at me. Mm-hmm. So, where was I? He's in the house. Yes, he is.
Better dick than you knew.
We smoke. We do. Yes, better, like, better dick than we knew. Girl, this man fucked me. All over my house for 7 hours.
That's too long.
I'm exhausted.
That's too long. I'll say it. That's too long. That's way too long.
Honestly, if I can watch the entire Lord of the Rings series, it's and the extras.
All
and
of,
the extras.
They're
baby.
All of Netflix's Russian
if
Doll.
If I'm out here watching like Aragorn's costume get made and shit, it's too long, nigga.
The deleted
too
scenes.
Too long, nigga.
Director's
so,
cut.
So the thing is, he was the Lord of my ring.
My lips here. I truly do have to go. It's been real. It's been uber real, and I have to go.
And this, like,
wow.
But this, like, spins into a summer of getting fucked for minimum 4 hours.
I want to go to there.
Once a week, right? Whenever I'm in town.
4 hours?
Yeah.
Now?
Yeah.
Whole Foods.
Yeah. And so it's this really beautiful thing. And I'm thinking, like, yes, I have found 2-block-away dick. It is great. It lasts forever. I literally have to set an alarm for it to stop. It's like, this is the perfect situation. And then he asked me the fatal question.
Uh oh.
You want to get dinner?
Oh,
devastation.
How many months into it is it?
Turmoil.
Nick, what's wrong with dinner?
Huh?
Thank you. Me and Angel.
Oh, my God.
Are like,
the two lesbians on the podcast.
I would have asked.
Love you.
I would have asked 30 minutes into the first seven hours of sex.
Listen, no,
so we're like getting dinner after this, right?
I feel
this,
like we're Nicole Kidman and Sandy Bullock in Practical Magic. Look, I love it.
Look, I'm going to say this before. Much as I imagine I would really love a relationship, I will be just as happy if I just end up with a nigga that comes over on Tuesdays for pussy. And that's great.
We call that an insignificant other.
I love an insignificant other.
A situationship.
Damn.
Yeah. I like an insignificant other and another. Like, that would be great. And I don't really need a relationship if I find up loving someone. Ew, gross, but great.
disgusting.
And so he asked me to go to dinner. And I think the only thing I was hesitant about is, you know, when you have a feeling and about someone, but sometimes they're a little bit too nice to trust yourself. And it's not ever that he was cruel or kind or anything. I was just like, you know what? Outside of the dick, I don't really know what all there is here to mine. You know, and
yeah, that matters. You need something more than
the dick. You need even more. But at this point, we're talking
two. Wow, we've really had a turn here on Thought.
But
for the longest time, I don't know that that has been the thesis.
No,
I don't know that that has been the thesis.
Me, Joseph Osmondson.
It has not really, truly. I'm a listener. I love this podcast.
Not in this segment.
It has not been
not in this segment.
More than the dick. I will have to say that that's not.
Nine times out of ten.
I want to say you done flip flopped.
There's also the fingers and the fists and the mouth.
Yeah.
I don't like either of those things. Well, the mouth.
Love the mouth.
Not really big on the fingers and the fists, but unless there's, never mind. but 2 months in, right? And like, I'm kind of feeling, what is that word? When you only like one person, monogamous.
Oh my God.
I'm feeling a little monogamous at this point because I've been getting my back broke for fucking 5 hours every other day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I say yes. I say yes to the dress and we go.
Shauna runs your yes.
A year of yes. We go to dinner. And so now our new situation is like dick and french fries. And I'm like, oh no, we're on a very dangerous road here.
I love this road. This is my favorite road.
I hate this road, Joel, because 3 months into this now and we're officially dating, right?
Yeah.
Whoa.
What are you like as a boo?
Great.
yes.
Until I get bored.
So not great.
Thank you, Angel.
So translation.
What's that NPR?
So a monster.
No, what's that NPR series called? No. It's PBS. I'm brief and spectacular.
Yikes.
Is what I am.
Extremely loud and incredibly fast.
And I am. And I did my most common mistake, which is getting a boo right before tour, which is a selfish decision for me because all it does is give you somebody to miss, but it does not give you somebody to build a relationship with. And so I'm coming in and I'm touring Don't Call Us Dead at the time. I'm coming in and out, in and out, in and out. And so we're dating, right? I'm coming in and out of tour. And then we get to another critical juncture, the holidays, right? And he asked me like, oh, do you want to come to my parents' house for Thanksgiving?
Shut up.
That's doing a lot. That's doing a lot.
It's doing a lot. And we're like 6 months into a relationship.
Can I be honest? There's no amount of time where it's acceptable to like expect that someone be knowing your family because people's families are fucked up.
This message comes from iHeartRadio sponsor, Mercury Insurance. If you're looking to save some money, you should really think about getting a quote from Mercury because Californians save an average of $677 with Mercury. It's quick and easy, and in just a few minutes, you might find you could save a lot of money on your auto and home insurance. Plus, Mercury was named one of America's best insurance companies by Insure.com 4 years in a row. Low rates, big discounts, great insurance. Go to mercuryinsurance.com today to get a quote.
It's crazy how much we have to pay for outdated, impersonal healthcare, and even crazier that we all just accept it. It's time to face facts. Healthcare is backwards. Luckily, there's Forward, a new approach to primary care that's surprisingly personal and refreshingly straightforward. Forward never makes you feel like just another patient. Backed by top-rated doctors and the latest tech, Forward gives you access to personalized care whenever you need it. Using in-depth genetic analysis and real-time blood work, Forward's top-rated doctors provide you with in-depth insights to better understand your genetics, mental, and physical health. They then create custom, easy-to-understand plans to help guide you to achieving long-term health. With Forward, you get unlimited in-person visits with your doctor and access to care anytime via the Forward app, all for one flat monthly fee. It's time to stop accepting backwards healthcare and start moving your health forward. Visit GoForward.com today to learn more. That's GoForward.com.
20 years ago, you fell in love with the Gilmore Girls for 154 episodes and 4 movies. On the I Am All In podcast, Scott Patterson, a.k.a. Luke Danes, everyone's favorite grouchy diner owner, takes us down memory lane. Tune in to the I Am All In podcast to relive the Gilmore Girls saga one episode at a time.
We'll share stories. We'll share the memories. I've got a million stories to tell, especially about Sean Gunn and Milo Ventimiglia and a lot of other people, too.
Scott will take you back to Stars Hollow, Luke's Diner, Dosey's Market, Miss Patty's, even Mrs. Kim's Antique Shop.
I know you guys have been binge-watching it through COVID and, you know, for 21 years and generations of families and mothers and daughters, and let's watch it together.
If you can smell snow, if Paris isn't just a city in France, and Friday night dinner is a requirement, you won't want to miss this. Listen to the I Am All In podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Allie Wentworth, mom, wife, actress, writer, comedian, and also the host of Go Ask Allie, the podcast that dissects the craziness of modern life.
He said, I never thought anybody could be this irreplaceable. And I started crying, and he started crying, and that was it. Yes, it's terrible, and all this traveling, and it just completely disrupts our lives, but this is what we got.
Go Ask Allie is a podcast where you can learn how to grow all the pivotal relationships in your life.
We are taking ukulele lessons on Zoom, and we suck. We're never forming a band.
By the way, I assumed that. I didn't anything. I assumed you sucked until you told me otherwise.
There will be ruptures in any intimate, loving relationship. And the question is, how do you repair?
New episodes drop every Thursday, and there's also a bunch already waiting for your binging pleasure.
You owe me a present.
Yeah, I know. Listen to Go Ask Allie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yo. So, like, it's not even about, like, like, we're at this level. There is no level.
There's no level. You'll never be ready. You'll never be ready.
Like, and if you're lucky, their immediate family is, like, cool.
Fine.
Mm-hmm. But... nigga, the extended? You just can't. What I'm saying? It's never okay.
I can't know nary a cousin.
Keep everyone away.
Cousins are whack, bitch.
Cousins are so whack.
Cousins, my nigga? Cousins is the clan.
Yeah.
No, literally, my cousins are the clan. Yeah.
Oh my God, Joseph.
Oh my God.
So let's just go ahead and power walk to the end of this story. Now that Joe brought the Ku Klux Klux into the room. So we break up in time for the holidays, just like any good gay. And so it was my first bad breakup, y'all. So this is like a long fast forward where, like,
I love how this impure thought turned into a full fledged recounting of your relationship.
It did. But, you know, a big part of the reason that we broke up though was that he didn't fuck me for the last 2 months of that we had. Part of that was me being on tour, and then he decided to be Christian. Be fasting or some bullshit. I was like, nigga, fast this ass. Shit. What the fuck?
Can't relate.
You better munch on this booty after sundown. And so, anyway, what I really learned from that, I have a lot of love for him. He's going to make somebody a very nice husband one day. But what it really taught me, and maybe this is a pure thought for myself.
Oh, I love it when they say the title of the movie.
Ninja.
Was that I'm good enough to say no to a good thing?
Can I be honest? You can say no to many good things.
I know.
That's true.
And honestly, you're one of the most lovable people.
Thank you.
And my pussy good.
This episode of Food for Thought was brought to you by the magical folks over at Everlane. The other week, we got our Everlane products in the mail, and Dennis experienced a real-life unboxing video.
That is my life.
But I will say, like, one of my favorite things is this wide-legged denim pant. It is in black. I'm wearing it right now as we speak, and I've worn it, like, every single day for the last 6 consecutive days.
I literally... This is Joe. Their jeans fit.
They fit perfectly.
Like, their jeans.
Best tagline.
Fit.
Dennis, what was your favorite thing?
So it's kind of a tough call because I'm not going to lie. I have been wearing the leggings and the black pants like nonstop. But this is actually the thing. I am obsessed with the Day magazine tote.
Everlane only makes premium essentials using the finest materials without traditional markups, and they tell you their real costs so you don't overpay. Because Everlane sells to you directly, their prices are 30 to 50% lower than traditional retailers. Everlane's clothes look better, cost less, and last longer. Yes. Everlane's timeless essentials are just what you're looking for, no frills, just quality. And right now, you can check out our personalized collection at everlane.com/THOT, plus you'll get free shipping on your first order. That's everlane.com/THOT.
THOT.
Everlane.com/THOT.
THOT.
Take us there, Joe.
It's time we get into the meat of the conversation.
Ooh.
The thought process spelled how?
THOT.
THOT.
Wow.
Well, this week we are talking about friendship. Aww. So, y'all, this is Joe. I'm 36 and single, and I can honestly say that my friends are the closest thing I have to family on this planet. For queer people, friendship feels especially critical. Many of us were bullied in our youth and made to feel outside by so many around us. What got us through? Our friends. I'm gonna stop being a Pisces right now.
You could try.
Thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, good luck.
To jump off on this conversation about friendship, I want to consider the idea of best friends. Do y'all have best friends? Can you only have one best friend? Or are best friends a thing that's better left in middle school?
I think the term best friend, like the term love, is kind of a fallacy that means everything and nothing at the same time. Like, I think it's this label wherein you are beholden to a person in this iconic movie-like way that can mean something to some person and a different thing to a different person. And some people think you can only have one kind of love or one kind of best friend. To other people, you have multiple. And for that, to me, I think the term best friend just kind of means nothing. Because I also mean the term love means nothing. Kind of.
Huh?
I think it's kind of
nigga,
like,
what's happening on this podcast?
We are not the same.
Yo,
bitch.
What is happening? Yeah. Fran just disavowed connection. Human connection. And
not
I
into it. No thanks.
I might have to go.
Literally.
Who's connected?
What is it good for?
Oh my God.
Honestly.
Absolutely not. Oh my God. Sing it again.
The queerest way to be is to only talk to your assistants.
I love my assistant.
I think you can have many best friends.
Yes.
Talk about it, bitch. Go in.
That's because here's the thing. No, I think it does mean something as opposed to what you're saying. It means nothing.
Means
like, to me, best friend is a promise, right? It is a promise that no matter how long we go without talking, no matter how distant we become, right? Because friendships augment, our lives change. If you are best friends with somebody in the same state and all of a sudden your ass moves like, you know, $1,000 worth of plane ticket away, that friendship changes. I have friends that, you know, best friends that I have held on to for the rest of my life, and we don't talk to each other in the same frequency. Who knows what will change in the future? But what we do have is that promise that no matter what, we pick up like it's nothing. You know, if you need me, I will fucking be there in a second.
I will get on a plane.
You know, and there are like details that I've shared with you that I only shared with you because you were my best friend, and because I shared them with you, you hold that shit for life.
I agree with that.
Because I hear what you're saying about like as a younger term, like best friend being this thing that I think young folks that we learn to use a type of currency, almost like the MySpace top eight, right?
Totally.
You know, where
that top eight was so
That's what I'm talking about.
Relevant.
That's, you know, crazy.
And it's also a way to like even like jockey your friends a little bit. It's like, oh, if you don't slip up now, bitch, I'm gonna call Rebecca my best friend and not you, Stacey. And so that's the thing that I think kids do with each other.
Do you think it's like a role as opposed to like a way of being with
someone? Think for some folks, I mean, maybe even for me too. Let me investigate myself. I do think if I call you my best friend, I do expect certain things from you. Like,
I do think what you're saying is absolutely right. It's like a commitment. It's like a commitment to family.
Yeah.
It's like to me, best friend means if you are sick in LA, I'm getting on a plane in New York.
Oh, I'm not. Bitch, I'll talk you through it.
But, no. but
you know what I mean? You know what I mean? It's like, it doesn't mean you can only have one of them, but it does sort of like in the way that we talk about partnership being a commitment, sort of a commitment to a lifelong relationship. To me, best friend doesn't mean you can only have one, but it does mean that I am committing to when you ask me to show up, then I do show up.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
I agree
and
with
committing
that.
To like, when you need me to lift you, I lift you, and when and it's reciprocal in that way. So best friends in a way is like is a queer family.
I respect that. No, I'm just kidding.
Fran doesn't respect me at all.
No, I think that The thing, everything you're saying makes complete sense to me.
I might mix some rosé with this bullet. That's don't you dare. I don't love what's happening. I need to take this to another level.
Joe, everything you're saying makes total sense to me. My one twinge is the language wherein you describe, you, I don't think you're intentionally doing this, but some people will describe a best friend with a sense of obligation and commitment, where to me, what best friendship is more an endearment that overcomes you and you come to them because you want to.
I do think adulting and queerness, like, invites, like, no one who is 35 is like, that's my best friend, and there's only the possibility of one. Like adult life experience and queerness means that we all acknowledge that I can call someone my best friend and call someone else my best friend.
Yeah.
But I was thinking about what makes a best friend, and it's not a choice. I think it's something you rise to, you know, in a real way. I think a best friend is situational.
Because I think it's like ingredients, bitch.
It's ingredients. Like it's ingredients, but there's always that, I think there's a Volta somewhere within that
Volta.
Friendship.
Thank
where
you,
it be,
baby.
Really becomes like, oh, this is my best friend.
You choose.
You know, it's the moment of something is revealed. And it's either just through... It's either just through relating to the person, or it has been like, oh, we've been through some shit and now we are best friends. Like when I catalog, I'm like, oh, I'm sitting here cataloging all my friends and going like, are they my friend? Are they one of my best friends? Yeah. And it's not that I love people any less. I'm just like, no.
It's literally
but
not
like,
about a mouth,
this
actually.
Like best friend shit, it's like, it's something that's either been situational or an emergency that some niggas had to go through. And it was like, oh, that like upped our friendship to a particular regard. And it's not that... Actually, no, I'm lying. Because sometimes it is, I think, just about the way you relate to somebody. But I think
it's like when you see somebody and it's like taking the bra off your spirit. Do you mean?
The bra comes off your spirit.
You know what I mean? Like,
you're
just
spirit.
Like, this is my bitch.
But I feel like.
And that's it. Yeah. And there's no, and it's like, I know what I mean. And like, I would love to express to the world. But like, I just, when I see this person, I like, it's like. Homecoming, you know, it's like it's right and it's good and it could be different.
No, I totally agree. I just think what I'm troubling right now is just, when do you know that you can take your bra off in front of a nigga? Because sometimes for me, it's just been that I've been caught naked in front of a nigga, and then I'm just like,
but that,
oh,
then
I
you
guess
know
this isn't
you're just okay. So you are getting into like the this is the perfect segue into what I want to get into, because we spent too much time talking about the semantics of best friendship. But what is you're describing a quality that you seek in a friend in general. What to you is like the one quality where you're like, I need this in my friend?
Ooh.
Because you're talking about the bra taking offery. I love that as an idea, as a trait for a best friend.
I think the bra taking offery, to me, it's funny and it's like lol, and we
but it's also
we also physically know what that feels like.
Yes.
But I'm talking about what that encompasses to me is like. And I was saying this to my boo. We were talking about, I mean, it's like, whatever. We're like late 20s, early 30s, whatever. So we're like we're just like perhaps going to weddings and stuff. So I'm at this like stage where I just like am just steady at a fucking wedding. And like I'm seeing a bunch of people from my past and stuff. And I recently this summer went to a wedding where I saw like my best friend from high school. And it was like so... strange and so good. And it was like putting on some shoes you hadn't but still fit your feet and shit. It's just, you know what I'm saying?
It's like, bitch, where you been and what you been on?
I know what you been at. And also like, is it okay that we're still on the level?
For you,
like we were on the level. So what I'm saying is like, I think to a certain extent, once you're on the level, you always have the ability to be on the level.
Also interesting.
Yeah, yeah. You've tapped on that quality of a best friend wherein like you could disappear off the face of the planet for like 4 years and come back later and be like, bitch, let's go to the mall.
If you touched the depths.
I feel like that's so interesting because I feel completely differently. Where I just think that from my experience of best friendship.
It's a very
No, it's true. My best friends that I had in elementary school and middle school and high school, I can't relate to them at all anymore, because my basement, my biggest level of intimacy that I had at 13 as a poor white kid growing up in a place that had like no possibility for any sort of deep thought was like not my basement right now, you know what I mean? And so I sort of have, what's been interesting to me is that I have a lot of deep friends from where I came from, but they aren't the people I was closest to at that time. They're the people who relate to me the best now and who can relate to me the best now and who also know where I came from. But I didn't know them that well in high school or middle school, right? So for me, I feel like one of the biggest ingredients of friendship is like shared worldview, is just shared possibility, is just shared language, is just shared understanding. Like I can't, the person.
But that's the level. That's the level I'm talking about.
That's what I mean. But the level doesn't, for me, has not been consistent over time because like for me as a queer white person, my level has shifted.
But along with that, Joe, very specific to you is shared physical space and consistency. That's another thing that I think bonds you to a person more often than not.
But like Alex Milbreath was my nigga when we were five.
Shout out to Alex.
Shout out to Kai Swinton, fourth grade through sixth grade. But
But
we didn't have any continued relationship beyond that. And so I don't know. Like, me and Alex Milbreath were like Instagramming the other day on some random shit. And I'm just like, I don't really know. Like, we'll go get a drink. We'll be cool. But like, you're not going to be my best friend when I'm damn near 30 in the same way that you were when we were eight, especially if I haven't seen you like that from 8 to 29. Is that a loss for you, Dines? It's not a loss for me because I feel like I found some of my best friends in college.
Yeah.
And I'm fine with that because college is where I got fine touching the level as well.
There's a lot
of people. I do have some friends from high school and even junior high, but those are the very few folks who I was willing to get that kind of vulnerable with. You know, when Fran asked the question, you know, how do you know somebody is your best friend? I think all my best friends have a level of kindness and tenderness, and that's only, and I know that only because what I consider a best friend is somebody who is willing to still love me and celebrate me and be there with me and be patient with me through my worst.
You're speaking on something key because it's like touching the level, but it's the maintenance of that can be separate, but it's the maintenance of like your own ability to like care for someone and let them do them.
Surely.
Because honestly, I touch the level with people who are like so hetero and like just like run marathons like in Seattle. But like when I go
in Seattle, when I go on tour
and like I stay with her and her boo, it's like she's not doing any of the shit that I'm on, but she's like, go bitch, go.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? She so it's like we touch the level, but she does the maintenance of being not just like accepting, but like down for my my for whatever the fuck. Do you know what I'm saying?
Like taking care of a plant.
Exactly. So it's like touching the level but doing the internal work to be like ready to like rise to whatever someone's situation is. Or you know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, even when I think about like, you know, your homie who I don't know that well, but like Blair, like y'all like seem to touch the level but have different lives.
Surely.
But you've touched the level and you like maintain the circumstances necessary to continue to touch the level.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I have a question for the group. Does your lover / boyfriend have to be your friend? Do they have to integrate into your friend group?
Oh, let me tell you.
I wish I could answer this question, but I have never had nor a boyfriend nor a lover.
No, but you have a boo.
It's true.
That bitch is your best friend, though.
But
we have a different situation than other situations.
Yeah.
Do you feel like it was
y'all
important?
Are my goal relationship.
Really? Mine too.
That's a lot of pressure.
Huh?
Sorry.
Well, she's just, I don't know. Here's the thing. Here's the real funky. I had a lot of relationships. That's not true. But I've had long relationships. I've been with people for like 3 years, 4 years. I've been like four relationships for all long as fuck. And she's the only person that like has been a homie. She's the only one that's been a the person I dated right before her was like kind of a homie, but not a homie where like she was a homie, like she was a homie technically, like we laughed, we like wanted to do some like a lot of the same shit, we were like interested in, there was like mad Venn diagram overlap type shit, but Shira is a homie. Like the homies are homies. Which is another level where you're like, let's just put it this way. If some shit got fucked up between us, literally, God forbid, the homies wouldn't be like automatically on Team Angel. Like the homies would be like, what happened, bitch? like, you know what I mean? The homies would be like, rut roll, like, nigga, we're not certain that she did it. Do you know what I mean? And that's because she's like a down ass, real ass, homie ass bitch.
Do you need that for someone to be your partner? Mm. That's my question.
Yes.
Well, here's the thing. Every person that I've dated before, I'm not with them. And every person I've dated before who has even been slightly a homie, there's a point where I, and this might be some black shit. This might be some queer black shit.
I'll confirm.
But it's like, you ever date somebody where you're like, it's so fun, cool, sex is cool. They get it. They like be reading. Like, we're out here.
Mm-hmm.
But then also, like, you're like, slowly or like, you feel gross by the level to which you're like the spice.
There was a tongue stuck out.
Oh.
Like, you're just, you're the spice. And yes. Then you're like, nigga, I can't be the zest in your life.
Danez fell out their chair. You know? Danez's headphones are off.
No, like, literally every breakup
you're
I've
like,
had.
Wait a minute, nigga. Do you prefer me to you? But Shira is like, no, nigga, I actually want to be me. Yeah. I love you. I think you're rad. But I'm not like secretly like
at night.
I put on your clothes and shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? And I think for a lot of queer people and a lot of fresh queer people who are out here, people are like,
touch my hand.
People are like, finally, you're my hobby, nigga. You're the thing that's interesting.
You're the thing that's interesting about me.
You're the thing that makes me better. Mm. And Shira is better and fly and out here without me.
Without me, nigga.
She's a planet on her own, nigga. And I think that that's what the homies are. Danez is a homie. Danez is a planet without me.
They're not in orbit with you.
And that's the thing. I think that that's what a homie is. Is a homie is their own solar system. And y'all are just, and y'all, I don't really know how it works, like the galaxies and shit, but I think you're just two solar systems out here as opposed to like a sun orbiting or, you know, somebody orbiting on a sun or some shit.
Different planet, same constellation.
100%.
You know? Yeah. Exactly. Well, we're just real quick to like what you were saying and to Joe's original question. Well, first of all, Angel, yes to everything. Like, bitch, I want that inscribed.
Not hot sauce.
Huh? It was really good. Because, like, me and my friend, my best friend, one of my best friends, Tish. So Tish and me have this conversation. And we decided it on we take, like, a road trip every 2 years. And we decided on the last one that the only difference between one of your best friends and if they're truly your partner, not somebody you're fucking for the meanwhile, but you're like in this shit, right, in the dirt with each other, the only difference should be that they fuck you well. And I'm very into that definition of like looking for a partner, and that's also the reason why I've left plenty of niggas. I'm just like, you're okay, dick is good, ass is good, whatever, but you do not live up to like these motherfuckers who are my friends, and I just can't do with that. But to this new question of fucking friends, I'm a little new to it. I used to be very against it.
Did you?
I did, because really? I thought it was just
like, you have always been slightly down to fuck a friend.
I've been slightly down to fuck a lot of people, but not my friends.
I feel like you've been like,
nah. I only have one friend who I met like butthole first. There's only one person in my life who like we met as a fuck situation, and then it has evolved into like just being friends. And more recently, I'll tell you off the air, I gotta see that little screen go blue because this shit can't be recorded.
I've been I need a recap.
Yeah. But recently, like, I really think I have fucked several friends. And it was beautiful, but what it felt like by the time we fucked, it felt like we had waited until marriage. And although I hate the idea, Christian like cis idea of waiting until marriage, I love the idea of waiting until the situation is solidified, until you introduce sex, which if that situation can be fucked up by sex, right? If it's a situation that where sex is dangerous to the level of love that is exchanged between those people, then waiting until that love is solidified as a way to enter the sexual realm, I think is probably a good thing. I don't like when Christians do it, but with this time, like, it's people, like the people that I have fucked as friends are people that I have been friends with for a long period of time.
I think a lot about how we never hold friendship to the same, or rather society, or like heteronormative people
whole don't hold friendship to the same standard as romance, and don't have the same ceremonies, don't have the same songs and poems and, like, you know, all the establishments around, like, friendship the same way we do around, like, romantic love and romantic partnership. And, like, wouldn't it be great if we had, like, a Valentine's Day but, like, was for your friends? Or wouldn't it be great if you had
cosine?
Wouldn't it be great if we had, like, a marriage ceremony and party
that was literally
for your best friend?
Yes.
It's so disrespectful that we don't honor our friends in the same way we honor this, in my opinion, facile idea of the one. But I think it's to our power that we, as queer people, can actually hold our friends as dearly as we do our romantic
and
partners.
Like, dearer.
And even dearer.
You know, and then, but it, in Hanya Yanagihara's text, Little Life,
who has a problem with A Little Life? I will fight right now.
It's too fresh. The
That'll literally be 3 more hours of podcast.
But she does talk about
the book's amazing.
She does talk about friendship in a way that I've, like, not heard it detailed.
Yeah.
And she talks about it in a way where she's saying, like, it is the bond that is not upheld by this particular expectation of or legality or this loyalty that is bound by what we agreed on beforehand. That you build the expectation in the experience, and that it's the one bond that is in, I mean hopefully this isn't true, but that largely in societal expectations, it's the one bond that is every day agreed upon, every day consented upon, every day you're there out of free will. You know what I'm saying? And that is the most holy shit. Yeah. Like, that is, like,
you create and agree to the obligation of friendship.
Yeah.
Yes. The obligation is, like, consistently renewed.
Yeah. And it's self-sourced, right?
And it's, like, self-sourced.
It's also necessary. And I don't think it's, like, a flimsy thing. The wording of chosen fam, I think people say it and it can become, like, a kind of a catch.
Be a little
phrase.
It can get a little capacious.
It can be a little hashtaggy. But, like, I actually mean it. And so it's very hurtful when, like, I go to a wedding and people are like, my friend was just saying this, Adam Faulkner was just saying this, that, like, a wedding can either feel like a signing on to the next 40 years, or it can sound, it can feel like a thanks for the last 20 years. And either way, you footed that bill to get there, and you're kind of like, why the fuck did you invite me to say goodbye to you? Like, do you know what I'm saying? And I feel like that's so real, especially with a lot of, not just straight people, but straight living gays. Who are like, I now have my little straight thing, and, like, thanks, I have a real family now. Good luck with your little chosen shit. Here. Good luck with your chosen shit.
That just blew my mind.
For real. And that's how it feels sometimes.
Yep.
And I'm like, oh, y'all were just, like, playing. But I'm for real, like, you're my family. So if you are, like, gonna sign off when you get married or whatever,
oh my God,
tell me now, nigga.
To say that you're somebody's chosen family is to say, I'm going to continue to choose your ass. All the days. I'm going to choose you.
So I got that feeling like I'm full, but I could fit one more thing inside me.
Another hand.
Dinesh knows what the fuck I'm talking about.
Wow.
Truly, truly, truly. That spicy white boy.
spicy.
So this week for our dessert, it's the one thing that I would like to have inside me. No, just kidding.
Joseph!
It's Terrell Alvin McCraney.
But, like, also, Terrell, if you're listening.
Actual, literal.
Joe's single currently.
Literal genius. Incredible person. Writer of the play that became Moonlight, writer of a play that's on Broadway right now called Choir Boy, that a bunch of us saw, two projects coming up on your small screens, one on OWN called David Meets Man, and one on Netflix called High Flying Bird, which is a movie about basketball.
Is it right now?
Like, that is not yet out, but that has no... I feel like it's this movie about basketball, right? And everyone's like, oh my God, basketball. And then, like, Terrell was like, no, there's literally no basketball in it. It's like a sports movie with literally no sports.
Love that.
I met Terrell.
Finally.
A sports movie with no sports. That's I met Terrell smart. Ages finally. Ago through friend of the show, Darnell Moore. And we bonded over our mutual love for Randall Keenan. Y'all know Randall Keenan's work.
Mm-hmm.
Randall Keenan.
A Visitation of Spirits.
Uh-huh. That's and Let shit. The Dead Bury Their yes. Dead. And so Terrell loves really Randall. Terrell wrote one of his early plays based on a short story in Let the Dead Bury Their Dead in his brother-sister plays. The play was called Run, Mourner, Run. And, you know, Terrell has just been a person who writes about real shit and cares about craft, writes about it well. And just the art that I experience from him is consistently hilarious and heartbreaking at the same time.
Angel, you saw Choir Boy. What do you like about that player or about Terrell's work in general?
Well, first of all, shout outs to Saeed Jones, who is my plug for all things theater, who just like always has a plus one and is like, bitch, what are you doing tonight? And I'm like, literally nothing except this nutritious like lesbian supper. And then I'm yours, bitch. And just like takes me on a journey of theater every, you know, every so often. So texted me and was like, do you want to see Choir Boy? And I just was like, I don't know what that is. Yes. Yes, because the last time I said I don't know what that is, yes, it was a little play called Hamilton, and I didn't know what that
I don't know her. I don't know her.
Listen, so I went, and it was very beautiful.
Yeah,
it was very beautiful. It was giving me like, you know, here's the thing. I'm like a culture nigga. I love the arts, and like, let's be real. Like, let's be real. Let's just be real for a second. Like,
be real.
No matter what. You feel the nutritional value sometimes more than you feel the, like, candy of something.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? You're like, ugh, nigga, I'm eating broccoli. It's good for me and I'm happy, but also I could be eating, like, an Airhead.
Yeah.
And I didn't feel that. I was like, it was like I was eating cotton candy, but it was truly spinach. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It was like that. Like, it just was giving me, like, it was... I was like, it was timeless, like in terms of just in time, in terms of me not having any idea how much time had passed. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? And it was like, it was also very black, which shouts to some shit being very black, but it was black without me. It was black without black being the problem. Saying like, do you know what I'm saying? Like,
girl,
like being a nigga wasn't the issue.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
And it was like, everybody here is niggas.
Let's discuss other things.
You know, I've never gotten the pleasure of seeing anything by Terrell McCraney outside of the brother sister plays, but I know what his work did for us in Wisconsin, where I went to school, and his plays. You know, we had. Terrell, I'm sorry if we're bootlegging, but like I just like we had PDFs of the brother sister plays, and that was like a secret that we shared. You know, the same way that like The Coldest Winter Ever got traded in my like junior high and high school. It was like all the queer like brown and black theater majors like trading the brother sister plays. Like, have you read this yet? Have you considered this yet? You know, like, did you know that this was possible?
Yeah.
In the way that he was writing those plays. And so Terrell is somebody that I just have so much respect for. And I say this as a starving Midwesterner for culture that I'm salivating to get these plays, right? I need to see Choir Boy. I need to see the source material for Moonlight because I love Moonlight so much. And shit, I think plays are better than films any day, every day. And so I just want to know what the fuck
he wrote Moonlight like. As an undergrad, I believe.
Yeah.
It was like his thesis project. Mm-hmm. Go watch the new projects, how you can support these artists who have made it.
And incredible. You saw
he has a TV show coming too, right?
Yeah, no. So it's a TV show on OWN called David Makes Man, and it is
OWN.
No, Oprah said
OWN,
it.
OWN like Oprah.
Oprah said it was the best pitch she'd ever heard in her entire life.
Oh, bitch, Terrell, come on, nigga.
So that's David.
Put your grinder on private, girl. We got Oprah money Ooh. Now.
That's David Makes Man on OWN, and it is High Flying Bird. Netflix. It is a basketball movie with no sports in it, so get into the faggotry of that. Yeah.
Wow.
Terrell, you're just
And it I feel like it must be said, please don't edit this out, that nigga's fine.
And he's 6'5".
Yes, he is.
This episode of Food for Thought is made possible by the generous and unequivocal support of Rosé, and also our new home at Forever Dog. Our producer is, oh, Captain, my Captain, Alexandra De Palma. Our social media manager is Christina Tucker, who is more important than a red wheelbarrow and more scrumptious than a cold plum. Subscribe. It's a poetry episode. I know. Subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes. Or frankly, we're hacking and deleting friends' iCal in the middle of Fashion Week. I am Joseph Osmundson. You can find me at www.josephosmundson.com.
I'm Fran. You can find me at Fran Squish Co. on all social media.
Oh, I'm Denez Smith. You can find me at Denez _SMIF and all social media.
I'm Angel Nefis, and boringly, you can find me as Angel Nefis on Twitter and not so boringly, A Naffy on Instagram.
Yes.
And I just got unlocked to stories. Like, your girl just got up on stories. So.
Get a story. Girl.
Not-
do you have a swipe up?
No, I don't know how to do that yet, but we'll talk.
We'll get there.
Welcome to 2015.
Find us on Instagram at GaySlutsWhoRead and join us on Facebook and Twitter at Food for Thought Pod, where each week we pin some questions at the top of our page to continue the discussion of this week's episode. Sign up for our newsletter to see a list of everything we're reading and some extra delectable content at foodforthoughtpodcast.com. And finally, email us with your questions, thoughts, concerns, and dick pics at thoughts@foodforthoughtpodcast.com. As always, that's food, the number 4, and thought spelled how?
THOT.
Mwah, take it away.
Back to life, back to reality, back to life.
What is the kind is that?
However do you need me?
How?
However do you want me? However do you need me?
How?
However do you need me? However do you want me?
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.